We've got Ian Ale. He's gonna walk up here and give us a little testimony about his life and the salvation and the freedom and the goodness that he's found. And so, Ian, as you come up here, I also want to tell you this is a special day for Ian. And one of the reasons that we're celebrating he's speaking now is because God has opened a major door for him. He graduated from college yesterday. And here, I'll let you step over to the center here. And so let's give him a round of applause. We're grateful for that. And that is a story. That is really a story in itself, because I'll let him tell the story, but this was one of the things, his college experience was one of the things that really hardened his heart against God. But God has just given you that gift. As a matter of fact, they made a mistake at the university. And he actually had enough credits to graduate, but they didn't realize it and told him he couldn't graduate. And that was kind of like the last straw for you. And so he really let a life already spiraling out of control spiral completely out of control. And now that he has finally come to the bottom and found Christ and turned his life around, 2 years later, when he's got himself on solid feet, and he comes in to redo the classes to finish up, they look back and say, you know, we made a mistake. You don't have to take any classes. Here's your degree. Isn't that how God works? Isn't that how God works? And I'm going to let you put this in your pocket, but we always give a card and a gift to our graduates, and so we congratulate you. I don't want to spend too much time on that, because the important part that we have Ian here is because he's got a wonderful story to tell, and I've had a privilege of watching a lot of it, and I meet with Ian almost every week, and we've developed a really close friendship and love for one another, and I've seen God do tremendous things in his life, given him wisdom so quickly and insight into his word, and I've seen his life just blossom. And so I just want to ask you, just tell us about what your life was like before you found Christ.
I'm gonna try to shorten a really long story. But when I was in college, I felt like I was on top of the world. I felt like I had everything open for me, and I felt like God, you know. I had control. That's what I wanted. I was doing what I wanted to do. And then come to the end of college, what I thought was the end of college, they said, no, that's not quite what has happened. And in my rebellion, I said, okay, I'm done then. You know, I'm really going to do what I want to do now. I started living. The best word I can use is shameful life. It was a life of extreme indulgence. Anytime I wanted to do something, I did something, you know. And being raised in the church, I kept getting these little reminders. You know, God never left my side during all that, but I did everything in my ability to push him away. So every time he would show back up and be like, "Hey man, I'm still here. What are you doing?" I would push back. I used drugs. Because the only time I felt good, I'm going to try not to get emotional here, was when I was high and I pushed him away. That's when I felt like I was okay, because I couldn't feel reality. You know, and the longer and longer and longer I did this, we all know what guilt feels like. But when you live with guilt constantly, it just eats away at your soul. And I tried everything in my power to just dampen that guilt. But it was always there. You know, that coupled with the fact that, you know, I was breaking the law. You know, I was looking over my shoulder all the time. I felt shameful, and it just spiraled out of hand. It got way beyond my control. Until finally, God, you know, God, you can only walk in the fire so long before you really get burned. And, you know, he had pulled me out so many times, given me so many chances. Those are the little reminders that I was talking about when he would show back up and be like, listen, I'm here. I want you, the best for you. And I didn't want the best for myself. I didn't want anything. But he showed back up the last time in the call that I got from the DEA. And it kind of really hit home then. I was arrested for drug distribution and put in the basement of the federal building for 15 hours. This is the first time I'd experienced jail. And it's not a place for humans. It's not built for comfort, for sure. But there in that basement, I started to ask myself, you know, like, how did I end up here? What did I do to get to this point in my life? And, you know, from there, I moved to a couple different facilities. I went to Silverdale, where I got in a fight as soon as I got there, and I was put in the hole there. And we crave human interaction so much. It's the thing that makes us people. It's the gift that God gave us on earth. Like Bill said earlier, you know, is each other. That's the best thing here on this earth. And when you're put in a room with almost zero contact with other people, the lights never go off for 24 hours a day, you start to go a little crazy. You have a lot of time to think. And that's how God reminded me of the separation I had from him. I hated being there, but he had to separate me from everyone and everything to remind me that I wasn't alone, that he was still there. And that's when my heart opened up to the idea that I can be forgiven, to the idea that God was there through all this, through me not graduating and going down this rebellious path, ignoring all the gifts he gave me. You know, he knew all along that that's what I needed. I needed my power. I needed my control stripped away. And I needed lessons in submission. And there's no better way to learn how to submit when every choice you have in life is taken away. That was the drop in the dark. That was what opened my mind to God again. So next couple weeks, I'm talking to some other guys. I'm reading a little bit of the Bible, and then I get buzzed out of my room. I'm at Bradley County now. They're like, "Hey, you have a visitor." And I'm like, "Oh, yes. Yes, a chance to talk to someone that wasn't a guard or another inmate." And it was Bill. So I went down there and, you know, we talked. You you know, I was open to this change, but I didn't know where to go with it. And I was talking with Bill, and I felt like he was holding back. I felt like he had something to say to me. And so I was like, Bill, what are, I feel like you want to tell me something here. I feel like you're trying to tell me something, and it's just not coming out. And he did. He put it on me. He put it on me right then and there. And it's exactly what I needed. And over the next week, I spent time in the Bible. I spent time asking questions to some of the other guys that I saw had a prayer group every morning. And, you know, I was just reading, and I came across Ephesians 6, where he talks about being the ambassador in chains. And then I came across James, where he talks about God only disciplines the people he loves, his people. And I look around, and I'm like, is he talking to me? Like, like he's really talking directly to me right here. And the next time he came in, you know, I was like, there was something changed over that week. I was open. I was open to the change before that, but when Bill gave it to me hard, just like I needed it, it gave me some direction. And I was ready to submit. I was ready to, you know, before I had my toes in the water, but I was ready to jump in. The song we just sang was it spoke to me. You know, take it all. Take it all. I surrender everything. And, you know, I was ready. I was ready at that point. And I did. And I think Bill saw the change that week. And I was ready to go forward. I didn't want to get out at that time. I really wanted to get out. I did. You know, right 2 weeks before I went in, I found out Rachel, we were pregnant. So this was so hard on her. And so hard to not have any way to help, but it was okay. You know, God spoke to me during that time, and he told me, Ian, I'm gonna use this because I'm gonna take Rachel, and she's gonna be mine too. And I was so comforted, you know, in this dark, nasty, disgusting place, violence all around me. I was comfortable. I was right where God needed me to be. I was right where God knew I needed to be. So, over the next 2 years, I think I was in 2 years, yeah. Maybe a little more. I just spent the time getting to know God. You know, I knew who he was before, but I didn't want to hang out with him. And he realigned my priorities. He took the people I love and brought them into his family through this terrible, terrible experience for all of them. Because it hurt. It hurt my family more than it hurt me. But by submitting, by completely submitting, I've got out. I married Rachel. She's my wife now. She's in God's family now. He gave me this beautiful gift of a college graduation that, you know, I didn't have to do anything for that I hadn't already done. And he really just, he set me up for my future. What he was trying to do all along. But I just wasn't ready. Some people are a little hard-headed. No, I'm one of those people. Takes a little more for me to get it. But, I mean, and how, the biggest way my life has changed now is when I was living for myself before, the weight of the world, the weight of society, culture, it was on my shoulders. And I was carrying it around, and it got heavier and heavier every single day. But now, I'm carefree because I'm going where God wants me to go. I don't have to make that choice. I just have to choose Him. And anywhere I go now is fine.
Well, Ian, I don't know what to add to that. That is the miracle God does, isn't it? And we're all grateful for what He's done in your life, and I'm grateful for you sharing it. You know, I think about the difference between you, because I met with Ian many times. I don't know how many, but whenever he would get in real trouble, I would come meet to him. A lot of times his mother would key me in. This is what's going on. Ian, he might be ready. Go talk to him. And I would go talk to him. And it was always, when it came to God, it was always like the conversation went right like this. He didn't want to talk about that because he was not going to submit to God. And he wanted God around and he wanted God to help him get him out of that problem. But he was not going to submit to God. And I didn't lay it on him hard or anything. I just, when we went in there, and I had told his mom before we went in there, I said, you know, I feel like God has told me this is the time. And I'm going to confront him, so you need to be praying because I don't know what he's going to do, but I'm going to confront him. And so I was waiting for that opportunity, but I didn't even have to wait because God had prepared his heart for it. And he was wanting so bad to hear the truth. And the truth was, is that if he is not the Lord of all, he is not the Lord at all. He is the Lord of the Lords and the King of Kings. He is not going to compromise and let you or let Ian or let me be in charge, and he will assist and be our servant when we need him. We're either going to lay it down before him and follow him, or he is going to step back and wait until we realize that he's not following us and we cannot hold our lives together. And some of us, it takes longer than others. But there's many of us in this room that know exactly what Ian is talking about. We had to go until our lives were stripped clean before we finally realized we don't have anywhere else to go. And I talked to Ian on, you know, 1 week later. I came back, and it was kind of funny because that screen was on and we were talking, and I couldn't see the countdown number, but he could. And we talked, and then he realized this camera's fixing to shut off. And so he said, the camera's fixing to shut off. Pray for me real quick. And I don't even know if it shut off before the prayer was over. But I had no idea how he was really reacting to it, but I was encouraged because he was wanting to hear. And when I came back the next week, it was a totally different person. I walked in there, and the first thing he said is, I don't want to get out of jail anymore. He said, I know I am right where God wants me to be. And he read me that verse in Ephesians and asked me to pray for him that he could proclaim the gospel in chains. He said, if I can live for Christ here, I can live for Christ anywhere. And this is my seminary. And I don't want out because I'm not ready to be out. I need God to strengthen me and strengthen my faith, and whatever he wants to put me through to get there, I'm willing to do. And he was at peace that God would take care of his mother, take care of Rachel, take care of their children, take care of whatever he needed as he went through that. And I saw a guy who was in turmoil, and then I saw a guy who was in total peace and had joy probably for the first time. As a matter of fact, I think you told me that. And And now, 2 years later, I can't say maybe a little longer than that, but you've been out. We've been meeting, what, about a year or so? A little more than a year, somewhere in there. It's been amazing to see what a hold God has on his heart. And he has had some difficult situations he's had to deal with. And he sought the Lord before he acted. And he did what God would want him to do. And he saw God do some miraculous things he would have never thought would have happened. God is healing him. He's healing people around him. And we're just grateful for what God does. And that is what salvation is all about. And so I'm just going to ask you right now just to take a minute and close your eyes and bow your head. And this is kind of our response time. And it's a time where you are responding to God. And there may be a lot of people sitting around you, but God is looking at your heart individually. And right now, the only thing that matters is you and God and what he is saying to you. And some of you feel that same struggle and tension that you are still struggling to keep control of your life. You want God in it, but not in control of it. And deep in your heart right now, God is speaking to you, and you know you've never let it all go. You know your life is not completely in God's hands, and you feel that stress, and you feel that turmoil. You feel that shame and that guilt. And Jesus Christ came. That's what we're celebrating here at Christmas. He came to give his life, to pay for your sin, and to let you know how much God loves you and how much he's willing to forgive you. And if God is knocking at the door of your heart, and he is saying, let go and let me take over, I want to give you just some time to respond to that. Maybe you've got someone in your family or someone close to you that's in that same place. And you desperately want to see God work in their lives. And maybe you need to pray for that. Or maybe God is just speaking through this testimony. And you are so grateful because you have walked every step of the same thing. And you just want to thank God for how he's freed you. But I'm going to give you just a couple of minutes here. And whatever God is speaking to you, I want you to grab a hold of him. Father, sometimes we think that we can grab a hold of so much in life. But the truth is we don't even really know what life is about. We search for love everywhere. And yet we can only truly find what we're looking for in you. No one loves us like you. No one knows us like you. You created us and put us together exactly how you wanted us to be, and only you know what our lives need. Father, we've walked away. We've ignored you. Sometimes we've even been angry and resentful at you, all because of choices we made. We thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes to see that it is not you, it's us that needs to change. And we want to change. We're tired of running. We want to put our lives in your hands. We want to find the freedom and the joy that only you can bring in our lives. And so we give ourselves to you. And we thank you for showing us through the death of Jesus Christ that no matter what it takes, you will forgive us and you will pay the price. And just as he rose again, you will give us the power to be the people you created us to be, to live the life you intended for us and that deep in our hearts we want. There is nothing in this world that we can have outside of you. All the rest will fade away. But with you, everything has meaning. Everything is a joy. Forgive us and take our lives. And we thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.